This portion of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Angela here with me today. And I'm looking at, I Googled which states have early voting or, you know, the absentee voting.
And like I came up with the mail-in.
Like Arizona, you know, you get like 5 weeks to send the thing in. And everybody gets it by mail. I think it's like 90% at this point. Never heard of this site, so take it for, could be fake news, but U.S. Vote Foundation. Because I was just curious, which states in the United States of America do not offer, like you actually have to go to the polling place, you know, like the way we did it for, I don't know, 200 years. What would you say? 220 years? I mean, when did we start?
Yeah.
Where are we? 2024. You know, we got this 1776. Let's go to 1976.
We're 200.
So yeah, let's say, you know, for 220, 225 years, it's like early vote. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because if you mailed it in, like, you know, back in the day, it'd be like your vote would show up sometime 2 years into the new administration, Pony Express or something. But it looks like, according to this list, the only two states in the union that do not offer any kind of early voting is Alabama and, hang on, wait for it, New Hampshire.
Hmm.
So I guess my question, and maybe we need to, like, do we still have, like, the white pages or yellow pages? I guess the white pages had people's numbers. Yellow pages was like the businesses, right?
Yeah,
in the white phone pages book. The white pages was like... Yeah, they would have like address your address and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, actually, we had more information. Do you think there's so much information nowadays? Like back in the day, you could literally, people may not be aware of this. Like if somebody's like 20 something listening, right? Or even they're in their early 30s, you could open up this book. It's called a phone book. Sometimes they even had it connected by like a chain in a phone booth.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And you could actually find Angela Horovitz and where she lives. Right? Yeah. They had the full address.
Well,
now that information is a little harder to find.
Or in your case, there's only one of us. So that was easy. The only problem was when it was like, you know, Bob Jones or John Smith or something, and there's a page and a half of them.
And you're just like calling all of them.
You have no idea which one it
is.
Are
you the Bob Jones that I met on the bus? and then it starts getting weird pretty quick. But anyway, if we were to randomly pick the white pages and call someone in New Hampshire and just start calling people in New Hampshire and Alabama and saying, well, how's your elections working? Mm-hmm. You know, is it okay? Are you guys like voting for people? You know, is this inconvenient? Are you like driving down to, I remember when I was a kid, my parents would vote at the local, we were in a rural area in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They would drive to the local AMCO, the gas station, right? That's where
the polling place at the gas station. Wow.
Because there's like a little convenience store there. Uh-huh. And I was kind of like, you know, the place, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was an AMCO, if my dad's listening, I'm sure you remember. And I remember going along and it was kind of like, it was like a thing, you know, and it's like, oh, why are these people lined up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Tuesday and people are lining up to vote for, you know, Reagan or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then your parents would explain it to you and you'd wait in line with them and this and that. And hopefully you get a snack at the AMCO, right? And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's will Arizona become the third state to not offer early voting? There's a push at the Arizona legislature to send to the voters of Arizona, ironically enough, probably via early ballot, right?
They're gonna,
which is kind of funny. There's a push to change Arizona back to you go to the polling place to actually vote on the day of election.
Right.
And well, that would be like the absent, that would be the same day of voting. And then there would also be an early voting option that they're proposing. Let me give you all the details. I've talked about this a lot over the years, saying that I think the solution for our election integrity issues, security issues, and this and that is to go back to the old ways that work for whatever we determined 225 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thing afoot.
Yeah.
It's moving.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Legislature.
At the very least, they need to make it a shorter time.
Oh, yeah. I don't see a push for
Why do you need 5 weeks to look over your ballot?
I know. It's ridiculous. I don't understand that one. All right. I'll get you those details. Plus, several of you have sent me messages about one of my favorite school districts in the entire country, Do they have school school boards and stuff in other countries? I'm sure they do. This would probably be my favorite school district and school board in the entire world, and that's the Flagstaff Unified School District. They've made national news once again over their gender-neutral language thing that they're pushing now at the school. So I got your messages.
They're probably proud of themselves.
I'm sure they're very proud. They're flying a flag. Anyway, I got your messages. We'll hit on it, and then I'm working on getting the author of the article, the national article regarding a local school district here in Arizona, and then some concerned parents as well that are in the school district. We're not in that district anymore. And plus, I'm also working on, for those of you in Sedona, Sedona's another one. You got this, you know, small town. Let's be honest, kind of upscale, right? Mm-hmm. Expensive homes. And they got this, bam, right in this $20 million park, they're putting this homeless encampment. There's a doctor down there getting a ballot drive to turn this over. So we're working on getting him early next week because the deadline's approaching. So
yeah, nice.
That's why you got to email me, because then I get this stuff and I'm like, yeah, now I know what's going on, because believe it or not, I just don't have the eyes everywhere. You know, you're the eyes. So if you got something going on anywhere, just email us, talkwithjeff@icloud.com, talkwithjeff@icloud.com, or leave a message, and I think a couple of people did on both those issues, 877-971-3971. All right, real quick, if you're thinking about refinancing your home, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. She is the person that we used to refinance an investment property a year ago, year and a half ago, yeah. Right as rates were starting to go way up. Mm-hmm. And she's like calling us saying, you know, this 3% thing ain't lasting much longer. Mm-hmm. She has that kind of insight. I'm not saying she has a crystal ball and she can tell you, you know, what interest rates are going to do and all this and that. But she just has a really good grasp of what's going on in the markets in Northern Arizona, throughout Arizona, really. So call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Mention the Jeff Orbit Show. Get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Kim Dawson. And Nova is just a great team, Nova Home Loans, because Nova is a bank, but they're also a broker. So best of both worlds. She can get you the best programs, first-time buyer programs, things like that. Here's her number, 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458. Or go to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, MLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, MLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. There's something in the air. I can feel it.
Yeah. Owen was saying the same thing.
As soon as we got back, I think it's the pine.
Yeah.
So you'll have to excuse me throughout the show, I'm sure. Okay. So ending early voting in Arizona. Will Arizona be, you know, one of three states in the union to have just regular traditional poll voting where you go the same day? It's House Concurrent Resolution 2032. I believe it went through the House and now it's sitting in the Senate. I texted Senator Wendy Rogers earlier. She said it's getting quite frantic down there because we're getting to that point where, okay, let's get these bills passed and we got to deal with the budget and all that. And she says, we're working on it. Basically, you know, we'll see where this thing goes. But it would abolish early voting, essentially, with a few exceptions, and curb the use of those big vote centers. And it would switch it to precincts. So voting, what do they call these things? It would create election districts, which I guess we already kind of have precincts, right?
Yeah.
But it would limit those districts to 1,000 registered voters.
Oh.
So, because I think that was something they added after whoever introduced this resolution, and it would make it so it caps it at, for your voting district or your election district, 1,000 registered voters. And I think it added that because, okay, if we're going to go back to in-person voting, do we want to go back to the lines wrapped around the corner? Mm-hmm. And then people are getting discouraged and they're sitting there till 2 a.m. trying to get through the line, right? And it would also, it'd have some exemptions for early voting. So if you are 65 years of age or older, you could still get an absentee early voting thing, I guess. Persons who are residing outside the state and who are enrolled in a college or university. So right now we got Isabel. She's finishing up next month.
Yeah.
In Greece. Mm-hmm. So she could still, in that example, get an early ballot.
Right, and mail it back.
Yeah, and send it back. Persons who are uniform service, so military, active duty military, and then persons with disabilities could still get those things, but right. not everybody.
Right. Yeah. It's just that type of thing is made for, well, at least in the past, historically, it was usually for armed services overseas. And then also, yeah, people who may not drive anymore, people that can't read or, like, you know, have some sort of disability that they...
Yeah. Like, they can't read like because
they're, like, they're blind or something. Oh,
okay,
like that.
Okay. I was going to say, like, they're illiterate?
No.
I guess you can still vote if you're illiterate, right?
Except
how would you read this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Except how would you read this this initiative to understand? Anyway, I don't know. Just a side thought.
My thinking was, like, if someone had a vision impairment or something.
Okay, I hear you. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So they would allow early voting in person, I guess, the second Friday before elections and until the Friday before the election. So I guess they could still open up at the, like, recorder's office. You know how they do that now, where you can go in and drop off your early ballot and things like that. So I'm not an expert on it. I skimmed through it. It's 14. It's a rather long bill for the legislature. Like, if this was Congress, it'd be short, but it was like 14 pages long, and it had a lot of lawyerly language in there. Yeah. So,
I could see the problems with having more vote centers. You need more people to run them. Mm-hmm. You need more equipment. They'd have to redistrict or whatever they call it.
For the thousand
areas
registered
to
voters.
To get the thousand people.
Yeah.
And draw some sort of line system, you know, and that would take an army of people to do that for the entire state, especially Maricopa.
Now, there's some things here. I mean,
last I heard, they were already having problems getting the people to volunteer to do the election work.
Are they volunteers or they're volunteers?
They get paid. But you still have to volunteer to do it. I mean, it's not a jury duty where you get summoned to do it. You sign up because you want to.
But maybe we need to summon people.
Maybe.
You know, maybe just.
Yeah, but so this is your year. You're working the polls.
You're working the polls.
But to do that, you have to get trained. You have to.
Yeah, you did it once. Yeah, what was the training? Once. Did you have to go to
another? I think it was like one time, you know, on a Saturday or something something like that for a couple hours where they had to, you go over all the rules on what forms of ID you can accept and just the whole process of, you know, what's the first thing they do and the second thing they do and what happens if they don't have ID and what happens if, you know, they're not on the list or whatever.
Okay, so logistical issues is what you're saying. I mean, look, I would like to see us go back to poll place voting. Mm-hmm. I've had a real this is the Republicans pushing this bill. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hammer on the Republicans a little bit. You all pushed for early voting. I remember I was there. It was around the Mitt Romney time, right?
2012. I literally worked the polls and they were asking every person that came in. I mean, it wasn't a Republican Democrat thing.
No, that would be at the
We were told to ask every person that comes in, do you want to sign up for the early voter list?
But I also had Republicans pushing, you know, we got to get on this. We got to get this. We got to get this. And then we got it. And it didn't turn out to be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. And I see real problems with it because now you just everybody's getting, and this is where people will say, oh, Jeff, you want to repress the voter. You don't want high voter turnout. No, I don't. I actually don't want high. I want educated voter turnout.
Right. Means a high turnout, great.
Yeah, if
means a lower turnout, great.
Yeah.
Because we just want educated people.
I don't want people voting on the 30-second sound clip. Although we're fine with taking your 30-second sound clips if you're running for office. But, you know, I want people to actually read the stuff, try to learn about the candidates, and not just, we're just going to cram this in everyone's box, like, you know, the publishing clearinghouse thing or something here and hope it all turns out good. I don't think it's turned out good because look at the caliber of people we've got in office. We've got some really stupid people in office. Mm-hmm. And I think that reflects, you know, you get what you deserve and we're getting what we paid for. We're getting, you know, everybody's just voting. They don't know what they're voting on these big initiatives and stuff. Who reads the initiatives? You really got to take the time to say, do you understand this 14-page initiative?
I admit that the very first time that I ever voted, I didn't get the information packet thingy in advance. And I went in there, had no clue what I was doing.
Yep.
Not read one single one of the
propositions. When you're like 18 or something.
You know, just the first time I ever voted on anything. And yeah, I hadn't read anything of those propositions. So I'm sitting there in the voting booth reading over them in the one sentence trying to make a yes or no decision.
That sound good.
Like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing.
No idea what you're voting on.
No idea.
So yeah, I don't care if we have a lower turnout. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see, honestly, I'd like to see more educated, informed conservatives showing up than, you know, than leftists.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not my call.
I think part of the issue here, too, is that we live in a small town and there's really not the lines and stuff here. I mean, there could be at some polling places where people have experience waiting, especially out in the cold, if it's in November and you're waiting in the line for a little while.
Yeah.
But not, we've not experienced what not they like have Maricopa in Maricopa. And,
yeah. Okay.
Where people are in there for hours.
Yeah.
And they leave because they have to go to work or they got to pick up their kids or whatever the case may be. So then the mail-in thing, you know, is...
It's more... I'm not arguing. It's more convenient. Yeah. But do we really want to be running things on convenience? We've been doing that for a long time in this country now. Look what we're getting. Mm-hmm. And plus the whole security chain of custody issues that we're seeing, right. You know, with those mail-in ballots. And I guess that's why I'd like to open up the white pages and call those people in New Hampshire because they're voting in November. It's not exactly warm there.
Yeah.
You know, and Alabama probably is similar... weather as far as Phoenix that time of year, as far as it's, you know, getting cooler, but not freezing cold at this point. So I don't know. I don't think this would be the end of the world. I don't think it has a snowball's chance they're not sending it through the normal process where they send it to, Governor Hobbs' desk because she'd veto it. I don't think this has a chance of passing keep in mind the Senate has not voted on it yet, but it looks like they have the votes to do it. I don't think it has a chance of passing because you're asking people who got it all by 90% early ballot to vote on not getting it by early ballot anymore.
It's like asking them to implement term limits on themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want
to
do it.
Congress never seems to want to do that. So it's like they'll talk about it on the campaign trail. Yeah. But I don't think it'll pass, but I think it would be a good idea. But what I would do if I was king just for a day, wasn't that Tom Petty song or something? Mm-hmm. I would change the day of election if you're really concerned about people working and things like that. No, I can't get to the polls and I got to wait in line and I got the window from when did polls open? 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.? You know, I got to hit it before I drop the kids off and go to work and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I got afternoon, everybody's going evening. I would change. Why don't we just have a Saturday, Sunday? Like a election starts Saturday at 6 a.m., you know, and it goes till 8 p.m. that day. And then Sunday we're doing from... You know, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. or something. And we've got a 2-day election and everybody, you got plenty of time to get over there. Mm-hmm. You know, and every town I look at's got a public bus. So don't get me to, I can't drive there. What? You drive to get groceries. You get groceries. You go to the doctor.
Well, especially if they do this like 1,000 people, unless you're in a really rural area, it's probably close to where you live.
Well, it's all going to be pretty close, I would guess, unless, like you said, super rural
if you're out in the
area.
It's really, the big tracts of land.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. Maybe you're up on the reservation. You got huge distances. Well, maybe they carve out a little exclusion for if you live more than 25 miles from your nearest precinct. I mean, surely we can figure out a way to do this where we can show up and especially on a weekend. That's never going to happen either. I'm just saying, I think that, doesn't France do that? I mean, I don't want to be let's do things like France.
I don't know.
Because I don't know if that's a good example. But
didn't Russia just do the online thing, the internet voting?
Well,
that where Putin won by 87% or something?
There's 160 million people in Russia, I think, and he got 480 million votes. I shouldn't say that. I might get zapped, man.
No, but didn't they have an internet
one? I think so, yeah.
I think so.
He won. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's
but
good to go.
They did the online thing. I wonder how that worked out.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I've been watching and I got a thing on France. That was my lead in. You're supposed to run with that. But anyway, I've been watching Turning Point on Netflix about the bomb and the Cold War. It's a long series about the whole, you know, from dropping in Hiroshima to, you know, the Cold War through current times. Pretty good. Just kind of remembering back, especially for me, the Reagan era and then the fall of, you know, Berlin Wall coming down and the fall of the Soviet Union and how that all happened. I thought they did a pretty good job. There's always in these documentaries some leaning issues that I'm like, okay, I get it. I see where you stand, but, you know, I try to look past that or else I'm never going to be able to watch anything ever again. But I thought there was a lot of good history there. If you're kind of a Cold War buff, you might want to check that one out. But what's going on in France? Are they going to vote this on a weekend?
Yeah, I was just reading today that, and I think one of the states here did it. I didn't have a chance to look into it, but
isn't that like California?
I want to say it was like Texas or somewhere, but be totally off on that. I don't know. Right. They're trying to vote on a bill to against hair discrimination is the bottom line.
Oh, okay.
Someone with dreads, or maybe they wear their hair in braids, or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's a problem there. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it to me. But
are these problems anywhere?
It was a U.S. state that did that. It just seems like they're looking for something.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody got offended.
The funny thing that I found was that it also would protect blondes, redheads, and bald people from what they call hair prejudice.
Hair prejudice.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, I think the only person type of hair left out is the brown hair, which would apply to me.
Oh yeah, they're being prejudiced.
Then so what about me? I mean, why don't you just get a job? All hair discrimination.
Yeah, you wouldn't get a job. You could just get a job at like Boeing.
Yeah, so okay, afros, dreadlocks, braids, blondes, redheads, and bald victims.
Bald victims?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? Did hair burn off, or is it a natural occurrence here? Mm. Bald victims? They actually call them victims?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people listening that are bald. They're like, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim.
Well, anyway, if you're going to go that far, then just say everyone and all hair types.
Yeah, just do. What about the albinos? What about the,
Well, they probably would be considered blonde.
Or gray. You know, like really, yeah, like gray. Steve Martin, he had gray hair from when he was like 20.
Yeah, true. I forgot about the gray.
Yeah, so, only in France can they come up with something like that. It's just people with too much. It just goes to show you all around the world, there's just people with too much time. And they kind of like, everybody wants to kind of glom onto something to be concerned or be motivated about and, you know, go be the squeaky wheel about.
And somebody picked hair. And go home to their constituents you can't be discriminated against for your hair.
Except the brunettes.
Yeah.
You know, to heck with them. I don't need their vote. Interesting stuff. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Plus, I would love it if you'd leave me a comment, 877-971-3971. And remember, you are my eyes and ears out there. So those two stories on the park, the homeless park down there in Sedona, and also the FUSD, the Flagstaff Unified School District, continued craziness, which we'll get to in more detail. We'd love to hear from you on anything like that. 877-971-3971. The Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams has awesome steaks, awesome ribs, great food there. You should stop on by. And I'm going to give this to you, Angela, so you can let people know about this event, which is coming up here, because I still can't read that very good.
Yeah, it's blurry.
Yeah, so the Rodeo Steakhouse, let me get you the address in Williams so you can go check it out and get a great steak. 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. It's right there by the Ramada Inn. Like I said, great steak, great ribs. It's an awesome menu they got and great food. And I love going on out to Williams. And you got a reason to go out on Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Is this tomorrow?
March 29th.
So Friday, for somebody listening back, March 29th.
From 6 to 8, they're having a meet and greet with Walt Blackman and Dave Marshall, who are candidates for CD. Yeah.
And Marshall's currently one of the
District 7,
LD7 representatives in the House. And Walt Blackman was a representative for a couple terms, and he's rerunning. There's also many other candidates in this race. It's an interesting Republican primary. So if you want to go out there and pick their brains, and you know, see what's going on, maybe have a good steak with them or some good ribs, head on out there. What time did you say again?
6 to 8.
6 to 8, Friday, March 29th, and that's 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard, 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. If you drive out there and you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. They'll get that fixed for you quicker than you could probably down your steak at the Rodeo Steakhouse, right? Well, you have to come back. I mean, bring them a doggy bag, right? Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear.com, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment. And if you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
Remember Sam Bankman-Fried?
Yeah, I saw he got, what, 25 years?
25 years.
Yeah.
He's going to appeal it. He's going to appeal the conviction and, you know, the whole thing. But I think he'll be doing that from inside the slammer. Mm-hmm. This was the FTX founder. This is a big crypto guy. And, you know, he was taken out. I'm not going to explain this very well, and I probably should get, like, Glenn Lease to talk about it more, but... You know, when you've got these segregated kind of accounts and things, and then he was taking money and he was doing all kinds of side deals and mm-hmm. there's just pushing money all over the place, and it resulted in losses in some regards. But then the price of like Bitcoin and some cryptos have gone up so much because it was, I think it was down to 15 or 20,000 when they finally nabbed him for all the funny businesses that was going on. I think this fund was valued at like 25, or maybe it's even more, maybe it's like 60 billion. It's tens of billions of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. And, they nabbed him for all the stuff he was doing, with other people's funds and locked crypto that he unlocked, things like that, which, you know, I thought that was the point of the crypto. So you couldn't do things like yeah. that. And yeah, I think the cryptos, you know, like Bitcoin was 15 or 20,000. Now it's like 70. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of the funds are actually worth more. Mm-hmm. They got to try to recover damages and stuff, which I guess they won't have a problem. He's got to pay a bunch of money. Big fines and this and that. But it makes me wonder, when anything like this happens, does he have the stash
somewhere? Yeah.
You know, because you're talking crypto.
Wasn't he in Bahamas hiding out for a while?
Yeah. And he's like basically taunting. He was so stupid. He went on like interviews and stuff when that's the time he should have been clamming up and the lawyer saying or not saying something for him.
Right.
Just arrogant young guy with crazy hair and kind of crazy girlfriend too. And they nabbed him, but then remember he was a big donor to the Dems. Mm-hmm. Remember tons of money, Washington DC. He doused Washington DC and a lot of Democrat politicians. There's probably Republicans too, but from what I saw, mostly Democrats, he doused them with money. Mm-hmm. And, did they give it back? I wonder if they gave it back. You know, did they do that? Anyway, no. So yeah, he basically said, I'm sorry, you know, kind of my bad. I don't know if that's an exact, sorry about that. It was kind of like that. I think it really was like, you know, sorry, dude. I'm sorry about that. But 25 years in prison, I was looking at, you know, other, like Bernie Madoff, he got like, you know, 160 years or something like that, mm-hmm. died in prison. He claimed he didn't really do anything. He's like, it wasn't my intention, this and that. Like Bernie Madoff, if you've ever followed what he did.
He literally made off with all the money.
Well, yeah, he made off all right until he didn't. And then he was in jail and he died. But they didn't even, he was like the head of one of the investigative units or the, you know, and all mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And he was high up there and he was just bilking. He's just making up fake. He was making up fake returns and stuff, just total fraudulent. But he did it for like decades. It was insane. And then it got worse during, you know, 08 when everything started tanking, and then he couldn't make the, you know, people wanted couldn't to withdraw funds. Together. Yeah, couldn't hold it together. 25 years, what does he get? I mean, is this a 10?
Yeah, how long is he actually going to serve?
What is this? Let's look this up. Sam Bankman Fried. How old is this guy? 30s? You know, you got a wiki thing here on him. He is, he's 32 years old. Mm-hmm. Let me, okay, the dude, so you're handing him all these billions of dollars when he's in his 20s? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess sometimes it works out, right? But he's 32 years old, so what is he going to be in jail, 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
If that, and then he's got to have, but that would suck too, but it's probably a country club jail.
Oh, yeah, like, you know? Minimum security type. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the guy. Look at this guy. You think he's going in hard? I mean, that ain't going to turn out good for him, you know, if he's doing like, you know, high security or something. No. This dude is like, he's like targeted like 3 seconds
in. The one where they're out lifting weights and, you know.
Oh, I don't think this dude's ever lifted weights in his life.
Well, he lifted a flip-flop once.
Yeah, he lifted a flip-flop.
And they're playing basketball.
No.
Reading half the day.
Yeah, he's reading Socrates or something. Anyway, Plato. Anyway, 32 years old, they nabbed him, but we'll see where this goes. But I just wonder how much he's got stashed that they don't know about.
Somewhere, yeah.
You know, because it's crypto. Find. It's that's the nature of the game. You're able to, you know, he could have like something buried somewhere in a bucket with flash drives. you know, little flash drives with the crypto on there.
Yeah.
And he gets out and he goes on his merry way, I guess. So there you go. There's that. Sticking with money, I was reading on ZeroHedge.com. If you don't have that one bookmarked, that one's well worth, like, you could take Drudge Report and delete that one and go to Zero Hedge instead. They got a lot of good reports there. You know, they were the ones that got the data and figures of the, we're adding $1 trillion to our national debt every 100 days. And in this article, they're kind of frustrated because they're like, we should have like trademarked that because everybody's run with it.
Oh, now everyone's saying it.
But it originated from, yeah. And that's where I got it too. And I hope I gave them proper credit. And that's ZeroHedge.com. Check that out. But as you know, we are growing the national debt by an estimated $1 trillion every 100 days. So we're closing in on $35 trillion really quick. We should be there in about 25, 26 days or so.
It's yeah, so pathetic. That's, you know, $3 trillion plus, $3.5 trillion a year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every year.
Yep, because we have, I mean, it's pretty simple. The Fed's budget's around $6.5 trillion, and they take in maybe four. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's
you
not
do
hard.
The math. That's not hard.
I mean,
math.
You don't need like a big degree for that. This yeah. is simple stuff. But now they've also come up with, we're growing the debt service. It's a little longer. The debt service, according to Zero Hedge in this article, is growing by $100 billion every 4 months. So that's
how
what it costs
to pay
yeah. for the interest for the $34.5, soon to be $35 trillion. It is growing by $100 billion every 4 months. And keep in mind, this is just a few years ago that this portion of the budget was the number four line item on the federal budget. And it was like in the 350 to 400 range. And now it's here's the next part that they talk about. It's now over $1 trillion.
Wow.
It has surpassed the national defense, which is like 900 or something like that, mm-hmm. It's now the third. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's now the third biggest slice of the pie as far as federal spending. So over $1 trillion. So you can kind of figure that as things are going right now, every 4 months, it's going to be another $100 billion. So $1.3 trillion mm-hmm. by this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's mark it on the calendar and see if they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's assuming interest rates stay where they're at,
yeah.
which is around 4.25%, 4.5% on treasuries and things like that. They also point out that the director of the Congressional Budget Office, Philip Schlagel, issued a stark warning that the United States could suffer a similar market crisis as seen in the United Kingdom 18 months ago during former Prime Minister Liz Truss's, you remember her? She was like Prime Minister for like eight and a half minutes.
Because a week or something.
She knew there was a debt problem in the country. And she went in there and tried to change some things, raise interest rates, right? And do that. And it sparked a run on the pound. So everybody started, you know, getting out of the pound. And then she immediately reversed course and they went and did quantitative easing, which is printing money. Bank of England did that. So that's this guy, Philip Schlagel, Congressional Budget Office, the director is saying, we could be facing a similar situation, because I told you just the other day that the chance of interest rates being lowered this year is near zero. If they do it, it's going to be maybe a quarter or an eighth of a point, because they know what happened in England.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was it's been a financial disaster over there. So if we see them try to lower rates, we've got a problem, and they start juicing the economy, start getting massive inflation. If they raise rates, well, then the national debt payments go up, the interest on that. I hope I'm explaining this good. We should get, who's this guy's name again? Philip Schlagel on. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if we're getting the CBO guy. If they raise interest rates, then paying off the national debt
becomes harder.
All of a sudden,
harder.
Then it's a $200 billion every 4 months or something. That's just a guess. So not good. I guess that's how we could just classify it, as warning signs being thrown out there, and not good at all. Let's see. The tamale bill. You want to do the tamale bill?
Yeah.
It's making
its
way.
I like a good tamale.
Yeah, who doesn't like good tamale? You like those food trucks, you know? So we're talking like, and people who prepare food in their own kitchen at home and then go and sell it, right? There was an attempt last year at the Arizona legislature to allow people to lessen the restrictions and allow people to prepare food. And they tamales, could be anything though, right? Mm-hmm. Representative Travis Grantham brought it forward last year, and Hobbs vetoed the thing. And, you know, nobody really knows why, because it had actually Democrat support. It's back. I guess it's going, I think it's going over to her desk, and we'll see if she signs it. It's basically the same exact bill, and we'll see what she does with that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with people. I think this spawns entrepreneurial, people getting going on their small business, because who can afford to, as long as you know you're not, you're like the dishes are cleared and stuff. I'd like it to be done not where I'm going to, you know, get sick.
Yeah.
So, but I think most people are into this are, you know, you're not going to sell too many tamales. People are going to know that's the tamale lady that poisoned me.
Word will travel quick if that food truck, I got sick last time.
Exactly.
And you know what? If you're kind of paranoid about that sort of thing or worried about that, don't buy it from the food trucks.
Yeah. It's not even the food truck. It's
from someone's cookie sale or whatever.
They got a little roadside stand type thing. Yeah. And it's like all of a sudden it's, you make it so complicated. I think this is a good thing because it can get people's entrepreneurial juices flowing. And maybe this is somebody that next thing you know, a couple of years later, they got a restaurant. They got they got a food truck or sometimes
need like a side gig or something for a little bit. And they're just trying to get back on their feet from whatever. And, you know, that's the answer to it. And they don't need a lot of, you know, licenses and all this stuff like that. It's not going to take long to get up and running.
I make, 100 dozen tamales a month, and it helps pay for my kids, whatever. Yeah. Or, I'm paying off student loan debt. Well, why would you do that? Because Biden, I'm starting to think we're the suckers, right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying. It's like we encourage people to do that. I mean, it's better than people like not being able to do side gigs and going on welfare.
Yeah.
With the debt problems we've got
in Mexico, and the lady comes around or a guy, tamales,
burritos.
And then next thing you know, Jeff's coming in like, I got breakfast and he's got tamales and they're piping hot. And so you figure if it's really hot, it's probably safe.
Yeah. Hey, if I'm willing to do it in Mexico, I'm going to do it here. Mm-hmm. Probably the same lady. No, I'm just kidding.
But my point is that they're, out at 6 a.m. trying to sell tamales for breakfast, and they're working hard.
My rule is piping hot. Whenever I'm at somewhere new, and like what we just got back from Europe, what's my rule?
First of all, if there's people, if there's no one in the restaurant, then that's not good.
It was a little hard turkey because I had too many restaurants.
The food needs to be hot.
Food needs to be hot.
Preferably cooked food. Yeah.
Cooked food, hot, and I like to see turnover. I like to see a lot of people coming and going then you got the local. If people are in there speaking languages other than mine and it's the local language, I feel even better.
Yeah.
Because they know. I got sick at this place 10 times. So
we
just kind of
generally, we stay away from maybe salads and, lettuce-y type things that might have water on it and that sort of thing.
I do stay away from those sketchy food carts on the beach at in Mexico. Remember one time the guy dropped
the shaved ice
and he dropped a cube on the ground and picked it up and put it back in.
Yeah.
Just like,
he has this like big block, the block of ice, the big one. And he would just chip it off and make little shaved ice cream snow cone things and flavor it. And it dropped in the ground in the dirt. He picked it up and started using it again.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm good there. All right. Write down this number, put it on your fridge, or look it up in the yellow pages, I guess, right? If you need to get, and I recommend you get your HVAC system serviced and checked. We do it once a year. We have it checked for.
Yeah, we do.
We do like carbon monoxide. We have, is there something wrong here? Clean it out. They do that whole thing. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Gettles High Desert Mechanical has been doing this for decades in central and northern Arizona. Your HVAC system, your heater, your cooler. They also do plumbing. They do new units as well, retrofitting. And then like our unit, keeping it going. Mm-hmm. This thing broke. It's from 1986. It was put in shortly after Reagan won his second term. We're still in the middle of the Cold War. Anyway, they kept it going. They still get parts for that thing, so keep it going. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. No matter where you're at, northern central Arizona, Prescott, Verde Valley, Sedona, Flagstaff, you name it, Gettles High Desert Mechanical can help you out. And check them out online as well at Gettles, GettlesHDM.com. That's GettlesHDM.com. And it's a good time to head on to Namarco's Pizza. Get a great pizza voted best pizza and wings in Flagstaff. the Marco's Pizza, I even say it's got, for me, a better rating than pizza in Italy.
Yeah.
Right? It's just more variety.
Good stuff there.
Good stuff. They've got great craft beers as well, wine. They've got, did I mention the wings? They've got the wings. Yep. You don't get that in Italy. Stop by Namarco's Pizza, 3 locations in Flagstaff. Order online for curbside pickup or delivery at namarcospizza.com. That's namarcospizza.com. Back in a minute. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Okay, $100 billion every 4 months in additional interest payments, $1 trillion every 100 days. That's the estimate. Isn't it time to call Desert Gold Exchange when they're sitting there devaluing your currency left and right and borrowing more money? Desert Gold Exchange is where Angela and I have bought physical gold and silver for years. Call them up. Justin and his team do a great job. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343, 888-852-4343, or go to desertgoldexchange.com. Okay, that's it for this hour. Let's next hour hit on my favorite school district in the entire world and favorite school board and this issue of the gender fluid ideology that they're doing, but also one of them saying bring it on to the parents. I mean, yeah, this is good stuff here. Plus, more affordable. I told you that the governments were going to try to do more housing and fix the housing problem that they caused. I got details on that. Stick around back in a few. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by ZeroResNorthernArizona.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love your email comments. And you also leave a comment, 877-971-3971. I did get the comment from Ted regarding, I guess, Mark Howitt made a comment about Thomas Jefferson not being very...
Oh, something with John Adams. You know, I heard that, but now I can't remember.
Ted, we'll get to... I'm going to wait for that one from Mark, you know, and then we'll just... I always get a comment
something
from...
with their election.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. Yeah. We'll get to that one. Anyway, you can leave a comment anytime. You can also be my eyes and ears out there and then let me know what's going on, like this one we're going to talk about here that's going on. It's made some national hits out of Flagstaff, FUS, Flagstaff Unified School District, and their illustrious school board there. We'll get to that in just a second. But, yeah, leave those comments, 877-971-3971. But I guess they had some contentious meetings, that, and I just – that's why I rely on people to call and tell me, and got a couple messages yesterday about, hey, are you following what's going on at the school district at FUSD? And for full disclosure, if you just started listening to the program like last week, we've had so much drama with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back.
It goes way back.
Just a couple months ago, the Goldwater Institute stepped in and threatened, I'm going to use the right words here, sent them letters to compel them to provide me with press releases and stuff, because we were dropped from the press release list. Yeah.
And then you asked to be on it.
I asked to be on it, and they basically said no, and then they denied that later, but whatever. Anyway, Goldwater forced them to restart sending them. I haven't seen any in a little while, so either they haven't sent any or I'm back on the naughty list. Yeah. I don't know. So they're basically deciding, you know, who's the legitimate media out there? You know, who's the unbiased media? And then they named things like NPR. And I was like, yeah, okay, you go there, buddy. So we have a long history, and then we have the long history of, you know, going to those schools too. I actually went to Coconino High School.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our kids went to Knowles Elementary School. We got out of there though, because we dealt with it so long, and we were like, this is going.
Yeah, it was time.
This is going to a place we don't want to be at, and we really don't want to fight it with our kids in there.
Yeah.
You know, we got to find something, because
we had too many years left. We couldn't.
Yeah. And those of you fighting it, that's fine. I just decided, hey, too many years left, and I don't see this changing. So anyway, so the Daily Signal, dailysignal.com, which is more of a national media chain, and they work with like Heritage Institute, things like that. So they report on a lot of stuff like this. And this is an article by Tony Kinnett, K-I-N-N-E-T-T. And I've been contacted to get him on the program, so maybe we'll get him next week. Came out March 26th, so 2 days ago. And the headline is, Bring It On, quote, Bring It On, School Board President Challenges Parents Concerned Over Gender Policy Changes. And I haven't watched the actual meeting because, that's me pounding my head. I mean, it's painful. The last time I watched one of these board meetings was like a month or two ago, and I was embarrassed for them. I was like starting to kind of feel bad, like, you know, what's wrong here? I mean,
yeah. And the funny thing is they expect the parents to like treat them with respect and have a certain level of decorum on all that. And then they go out and say, well, bring it on. And they fall asleep in the meetings, and they,
yeah, remember that,
you know, that whatever they openly mock, what were they?
They were doing something on the ESAs.
The ESA.
And, yeah,
right.
and it wasn't just the board members who were elected.
It was Tom Horn. They're saying, oh, he's too busy doing this and that.
He's too busy doing this and that. And it's just like, it was just embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch these people in action. But it was also embarrassing because it used to be that staff tried to remain and have some dignity. And they were even getting in on it. And usually staff remains very neutral. I remember that from my times at Flagstaff City Council. Mm-hmm. And they tended to really clam up and be like, nope, I'm not getting baited into. Yeah. Even they were all goofy and giddy and weird. It's just pull it together, people. It's hard to watch.
But what you ask, you know, what you demand from parents, you know, you should do the same.
You should do the same thing. Yeah. You should do the same thing. Let me read some of this article to you, and then we'll try to get the. I know Monday we're going to have one of the parents that are concerned that goes to the meetings, and he says it's become a real clown show, and we're going to have him, and I'll reach out to. I'll send them a note. You know, I always send them, and they either don't reply or they just say, "Yeah, we're good," and that's fine.
They stifle a laugh.
I'll be polite. It's getting hard. Let me read some of this article to you, though, here in just a second from Daily Signal. Hey, if you're selling a home in the Flagstaff area, call Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. You really need somebody on your side that knows in this case, the Flagstaff market and how to get top dollar for your home when you're selling it. Kelly does that time and time again. She does the advertising. She does the photography, the staging. She gives people advice on, hey, do this. She did this recently where it's like, if you just clean up the yard a little bit and maybe, you know, close the dressers. I don't know if she said that.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it's
just
amazing how some people have a vision that other people just cannot see. We've had that happen in our house where an interior designer came in one time that And she's like, well, just move this over there. And, you know, and we're like, oh, yeah. We hadn't even thought about
that. Did we pay this person? No, I don't remember
no,
this.
No, it was like a friend of a friend or something that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm too cheap to pay an interior
designer.
Kelly Bradis can be, I don't know if she's an interior designer, but she has that eye. You know, she'd be like, exactly. That is not working.
Yeah.
People are, I don't get that. Like, I guess the majority of people that need to see it, I like when I'm looking for real estate, I like homes to be an absolute disaster because I figure it's a better price for me. Mm-hmm. And that's where Kelly's coming. So you're selling a home. She's trying to protect you from people like me because when your house is a mess and is like, oh, the paint's bad and peeling, I'm like, great. I hope the floor's bowed and, you know, I even hope there's a hole in the roof, you know, but I guess I'm a different kind of cat in that regard. But Kelly will walk you through and make sure that, you know, you're not getting, into that kind of situation where you can screw. I mean, in one case, she had like $200,000 extra.
Yeah.
$200,000 extra. Yeah. So huge, huge. So anyway, call Kelly Broadus, 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602 or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Okay. So again, DailySignal.com. We'll try to get the author here on this, Tony Kinnett. So Arizona School Board has taken a combative approach toward parents concerned over proposed curriculum or policies focused on sex education and transgenderism. The proposed changes were described in the February 26th meeting of the Flagstaff Unified School District, including updating, air quotes there, updating the verbiage in official district policies from boy-girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boys and girls, boy, girl, two. What do you, any guesses?
Persons.
Close. You want to try again?
No, I don't.
You want to do it again? No. People.
Oh, people.
People.
Okay.
I love people. You know, we're just all people, right?
Yeah.
We're not boys. We're not girls. We're people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's get with it here. So allowing students to attend sex education classes designed for the opposite sex, wait, let me let that one sink in. So is that like a transgender thing? So it's like,
well, I guess, yeah.
Is this like high school? Because I'm thinking like, I shouldn't say these thoughts out loud. But when you're in high school and you're a guy, you're like, yeah, I'll go to the other class.
Yeah.
Right?
The only time I remember those classes is in middle school. Well, I went to junior high, but
maybe it is
now they're middle school.
Is it middle school? Now it's like elementary school.
But they were segregate, and I'm sure that they taught the same thing, but it just felt like you're more comfortable being with, you know, a class of all females or all males, because then you can.
Well, you know why? Yeah. You know why? Do you know why? Because, and this was a shocker for some of these people. Maybe I should go to one of these board meetings. I don't know if that'd be good. But anyway, because there's a difference between a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's shocking to a lot of people, but there's a difference. So that's why you do it separate, too. There's differences. Well, between boys and girls.
Right.
Also known
you
as people.
Just talk more openly about things.
Yeah.
And
it's like
when you're with people.
I mean, you see
me
and Owen joke around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something the male, you know, we get it. And it's like, she's rolling her eyes and all you guys out there
do
know.
Do not give them two coconuts ever. Either one of them.
When we went to Hawaii last year for our 25th, and I bought Angela, and I thought she'd wear it, but she never wore it. The traditional the traditional coconut thing that the
bra, coconut bra.
No, no, but the dancers, what are they called?
The hula dancers.
The hula dancers, yeah. And she never wore that thing, but I always put it on. It's so funny.
It's not anyway. Just that, it's any kind of
I know, because there's a difference.
Object.
There's a difference between boys and girls, and that's okay. You know? I mean, it's just, but they want to, and are in the process of all over the place, blurring that line and just, we're all just people. So go on, little Billy, go into that girl's bathroom. I mean, what is this?
Yeah,
this
right.
is insanity, you know? So because they want to be more, and here's a quote from the Daily Signal article, quote unquote, inclusive and gender fluid.
Of course.
You know, going forward.
That's just the buzzwords they use. To justify whatever they're doing, whatever they want to do.
Yeah. And so anyway, I had several parents call me yesterday and leave comments, and they're like, you need to hear what's going on. So I'm going to push on it. I'm going to, you know, we'll get people on this issue.
They won't care.
They don't care. Yeah. They're good. Look, here's the problem for all you still going to these schools, and that's fine. I'm not, you know, if that's your decision, that's your decision. There's a lot of reasons we do what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to change. I've been watching this progress for a long time. I don't know what it's going to take to change. I think the only thing that changes these really
going
to
take an exodus. Wackadoodle
school districts is an exodus. It's the money.
Yeah.
Because that's truly when the money disappears, then they have.
Imagine
they
if
have
they
a
lost like half their student body.
I mean,
I
was shocked during COVID that half the people just said, you know, we're not showing up until you stop this crap with the masks and the idiocy.
I'm convinced still to this day that that would have worked.
They just say, no, I'm not going. They're just going to stay home.
It might not have worked immediately, but eventually it would have worked.
It would have worked. It'd take a couple weeks of a strike on these schools, a strike being you don't send your kids there. Mm-hmm. Or, well, probably even more because they're still getting the funds then. It's just Billy's absent. You would have to actually, I would just go withdraw them.
Yeah.
I just have half the parents just go. And I don't know if there's that many in Flag that, you know, are concerned enough about this stuff, but even if a 30% did it, they're in trouble. You know, withdraw. And, I don't know. It's tough. I know it's hard because then you'd have to homeschool or you'd have to go find a private school.
You've got to figure something out.
And there's only so much capacity at these private schools, even with the ESA funds. How many kids can they actually take? But I'm just spitballing here. The only way I see to change these institutions is to yank the money. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's it. So going on with this, parents weary of changes from the Daily Signal article they believe may threaten the safety of their children attended the next Flagstaff School Board meeting on March 13th. So this would have been when we were away. Mm-hmm. And I was ignoring everything then, to voice their objections. The panel officially is called the Flagstaff Unified School District Governing Board. Board President Christine Fredericks, one of my favorites, told parents that she would, quote, never apologize for being inclusive. And I would just add to that, but inclusive as long as you agree with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I realized that a long time ago. It's like,
they will love you. They say inclusive and they stop there. But what they really mean is, inclusive as long as you agree with me.
If you want to mention like, okay, let's talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, and or let's talk about conservatism. No. Let's talk about God. What? No, we're not inclusive of that. You need to go away. So they're not inclusive unless you agree with them. Mm-hmm. That's how it rolls. That's how they roll. So anyway, she said, never apologize for being inclusive. When parent David suggested inviting more parents to the next board meeting, I guess got up and spoke. I didn't watch the video. You know, basically, I'm reading, hey, we're going to bring more people. We're going to bring more. Fredericks responded, I don't know the tone. Bring it on. Quote, unquote, bring it on.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what that means, I guess. You know?
I think it means what we probably think it means and what most people would read between the lines on that.
I don't give a crap.
She's just challenging him to, go ahead. You go ahead.
You
and
go
do
ahead.
That.
I'm never going to change my viewpoint on this, you know, despite supposed to be a representative of, you know, the diverse representative, right? Mm-hmm. Supposed to be so diverse and inclusive. I guess she's being inclusive. She's saying, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'd love for you all to come up here and talk and then I'll vote the way I want to anyway.
And laughing in your face.
Basically. I don't know if she was the one that fell asleep. One of them did one time. I can't remember which one it was. Board President Christine Fredericks, you're welcome to come on the show. You can just call in.
Yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. We'd love to have you. Bring it on. We'd love to have you on the show to talk about the gender fluid, inclusive gender fluid ideology. I don't know if she calls it that. She probably just calls it inclusivity. And love to have that discussion about boy, girl going to just people. And like, do we go to the bathrooms for everybody? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just a question. I just truly want to know what the stance is. Are we heading that direction? Yeah. Locker rooms? Do we start doing that? Are you into the whole thing with the girls sports teams? You know, just, I mean, have you
being
been watching
four
that?
Girls only?
Yeah. Have you been watching that where some guy who now says they're a girl and, you know, outweighs and just outclasses as far as the size?
There's huge differences physiologically.
Yeah.
The size of a man's heart, the size of their lungs, all of that.
Yeah. I mean, once in a while, there's exceptions, but generally speaking, once in a while, you're like, wow.
The vast majority.
Yeah, it's just, that's the way it is. That's the way we're built. That's the difference between boys and girls, you know, but are we into the, again, just a question for the board members. Are you into, you know, do we have the guys on the girls team? Mm-hmm. You know, after all this success we've had with girls, you know, there never used to be any girls teams.
Yeah.
Had to fight hard for all that. Now they're probably getting discouraged. They're like, I just got beat by Bellina, you know, or whatever. can't come up with a better name.
Well, yeah, there's been instances where like the top 2-3 places are all taken by men
in a
women's competition.
Meaning that there would have been girls up there,
exactly.
And then they got the fourth.
They're fourth, fifth, and sixth place.
And they're like, oh, wow, all that work. I just got beat by somebody who, you know, 6 months ago decided they're a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it just sucks. So anyway, just the questions I've got. Parents out there, I guess you go to the board meetings and you try. I don't know if that's going to be successful. I don't think it will be, but I guess you got to try if you're committed to staying in these schools. The only other alternative is you leave. Mm-hmm. You leave. But it sucks because I even thought about, do I want to cover these guys again? These guys are so annoying at this district, you know? But I felt an obligation to for all of you who are still in this school district. And plus, I started just thinking totally selfish. It's like, man, I'm really offended. I shell a lot of money out to this district through property tax. I know you all do too.
I just literally paid the property taxes today.
I mean,
and it's like, it's in the five figures.
Yeah. And just like, wow. You know, so it's like, I have no choice. I can't divert. I can divert money through the ESA program, but that's state money. But locally, mm-hmm. and they sit there and whine saying, we're not getting our share, but you get all the local money, right?
Yeah.
You can divert the state money through the ESA program or the tax credits, mm-hmm. but you can't divert it locally. And I think that would be, if we ever get a Republican governor again in this state, and the current legislature, which I think has been pretty good about trying to get good things passed, that would be something to pass that when you go to, if you go to the private school or the homeschooling or whatever, you not only can transfer the ESA money, the state portion of the funds, you should get to transfer the local portion too.
Yeah.
And that you got to cut the funding and starve these agencies and these governments of money. It's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
You know? So bring it on. I guess we'll try that.
Imagine all of us who pay property taxes twice a year.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's through your escrow account or right out of your checkbook, like I did today. If we could take that money with our kids and put it where we want and not just send it over to the local school district, imagine what a difference it would make.
Yeah, that would make a huge difference. Your thoughts, though, especially I'd love to hear from parents, you know, people who are not just in the district, but who have kids there. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't have kids there anymore, so I'm not as in tuned as I once was because it's not the same level of concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you pay attention to the school your kids are
in.
Yeah,
we're
right?
involved with that
and
school.
And we're at Flagstaff Christian, and it's been going great. But I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Oh, here's one I just wanted to wrap back around to something I've been talking about the past couple of days. The you know, we had the issue with the bridge in Maryland, and I'm trying to find the headline here, and it just disappeared on me. Bear with me here. Bear with me. Totally
something about the demise of our society.
Yes,
is going to
yes.
be so awful and
thank
terrible.
Thank you. The headline is apparently gone.
We can't possibly function without.
Yeah. The headline was something to the effect of, are farmers in Arizona going to, you know, basically, are we going to have the food supply problem? It was an Arizona mm-hmm. paper that put it out there because of the bridge collapse that happened in Maryland. So they're already hitting on it on the Arizona side that, oh, we're going to have serious problems with farming and getting equipment and this
oh,
and
I've
that.
I've seen something that's like, globally. It's going to cause this disruption globally.
Yeah. I told you yesterday and the day before, I said, look, this is really too bad about the 6 people that lost their lives. Mm-hmm. It's too bad that it's going to probably be billions of dollars in damage and that port's losing $25 million a year in Baltimore from that mm-hmm. cargo ship hitting it. You know, these are all really bad situations. And I can be sometimes, you know, I put stuff out there like, oh man, like the debt stuff. This is really bad. And, you know, so maybe sometimes, and because I think it is really bad, but when I see people playing something that is not going to have a huge impact mm-hmm. and it's so obvious it's not going to have a huge impact, but they all start chiming in and mm-hmm. kind of following each other on it. It actually disturbs me, especially these so-called legacy, you know, mainstream media running with this. They're acting like you're not going to be able to get tractors and this and that. Surely the shipping industry is much more sophisticated. It's not the only port in America.
Yeah, we'll go
port
on.
Port of Baltimore, I mean, they're going to unload.
They're going to rebuild it and eventually start shipping through there again. But in the meantime, there are other ports around. We can figure out a way to make it work.
Calm down a little bit. It's going to be okay. I'm sure they were already notifying ships at sea that were, 6 hours out, 6 days out, mm-hmm. or whatever, saying, we're rerouting you, rerouting you. The tractors will be unloaded. We're not going to starve to death because the bridge collapsed in the Port of Maryland. Now, it's going to be a heck of a project. The Army Corps is there. They got to remove it, and they're not willing to give an estimate yet as to how long it takes. I imagine it's quite challenging.
Well, they got to clean the whole thing up.
They got to clean the whole thing up.
Redo it, too.
Yeah, so, well, you know, you got to get it cleared as quickly as possible, but that could take some time. But just the sensationalism that happens that I see when you do this every day, and you're like, really? We're going to starve because one port closed down. I don't think so, because we've got a lot of other ports that they can go into. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Comments, leave them as well at 877-971-3971. Hey, if you want to talk with Glenn Least about your portfolio, you should give him a call right now. I do a free, no obligation consultation. Maybe ask him about Sam Bankman-Fried too. Maybe Glenn knows where Sam put his USB sticks, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't heard from Glenn in about a week, so maybe he's got a bucket of USB sticks. Anyway, call Glenn Least. We've got him scheduled next week, I think. I'm looking forward to that. It's good to get a second set of eyes on your portfolio. Talk about your timelines, your retirement goals. Sit down and just see if there's a better path. And I think you can have that good conversation with Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474, or email Glenn, GLEEST, GLEEST at WTWealthManagement.com. And remember, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass. They'll get that fixed for you real quick to make sure it doesn't spread to the rest of your windshield. Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff, 928-779-4140, 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Welcome back. Angela and I here going over a few things hitting, and I want to hit on some housing issues. I did get a message yesterday that I guess they're doing a big like multi-unit apartment complex down there in Camp Verde, and I'm going to follow up on that. Yeah, it was like a couple hundred units. I was kind of surprised that on that size, right? We've got the issue that's hitting in Sedona with the homeless encampment that we're working on getting a guest on early next week to talk about that. This is like that $20+ million park that the city of Sedona bought, and then they're bringing in 40 people a night. They voted 6-1 or something to make a homeless encampment in this, you know, beautiful multi-million-dollar park. So obviously there's housing issues, but what I'm seeing is the politicians keep pounding on this now, and they're all trying to come up with a solution and get the biggest headlines, and they're going to fix the problem, which we know they're not. I mean, it's not going to happen. Tuning it back to our favorite city, Flagstaff, and the Flagstaff City Council, they approved $3.33 million in bond funding to assist in creating 139 so-called affordable rental apartments. So they're going to build them. Now, where would you build affordable rental apartments in any city?
Well, they will say that they want it in a walkable neighborhood downtown, but then when you actually go to do it, they'll say, whoa, no, that's going to ruin our view or
something like that. Yeah. No, here's the press release. Flagstaff City Council recently approved $3.3 million rental incentive bond program awards, which will be leveraged by other funding sources, which is just, is there any wonder why the U.S. is adding 100 billion dollars every 100 days into the national debt? No, I'm sorry. And $1 trillion.
$1 trillion every 100.
Every 100 days, and 100 billion in interest payments
every 4 months.
Every 4 months is because there's always other funding sources. So what these local governments do is they get money from the local body. So they put it out, and this was apparently like a bond initiative back in 2022.
Did we vote on this?
I guess we did. I'm sure we voted no.
Yeah.
But in Flagstaff, you know, that doesn't mean a lot. Yes, Prop 442, which was passed in 2022, it authorized the use of general obligation bonds for the creation of rental and ownership opportunities for residents of Flag. So basically, a bond is the way city borrows money. They go out, and at this time, interest rates, you could probably get the bonds for 2%. Now they're probably...
That's a fancy word for a loan.
Yeah. Now their interest rates are double, so they're getting less bang for their buck than they thought because they never thought, you know, interest rates are going to go up. Surely they're going to stay low forever, right? So they borrow money. How do they pay that back?
With tax dollars.
Property taxes.
Yeah.
They pay... So they make affordable housing by making your housing more expensive because you got to pay the bonds back through the property tax portion on your property tax bill. And you get to fund great school districts as well. Anyway, so they're supposedly building 139 affordable rental units being constructed in downtown Flagstaff by the Foundation for Senior Living. San Francisco Square Apartments is going to serve seniors earning up to 80%. And I want seniors to have a house. I want them to have a place to live. But I just think government should never, ever, ever get involved in housing.
No.
In any way at all.
Well,
I don't
they cause the problems in the first place. And then they try and fix them and they wind up only doing more damage.
Yeah. And then they wind up borrowing money to build houses and this and that. So, they'll be spending your money and building these so-called affordable housing units in the middle of probably some of the most prime land in the state, right? Downtown Flagstaff, that's not cheap land right there. And you build it right there because you're right. It's got to be walkable and it's got to take care of all that. So yeah, they'll borrow money to do that. I don't think government should be involved in housing at all. I don't even think that here's one for you. The Federal Reserve shouldn't even set interest rates.
Yeah,
they should. I don't even believe in that. I think that the market should set it, and then we wouldn't get in trouble. We wouldn't have politicians getting things down to, you know, near 0% interest rates and causing a housing bubble in the first place.
Yeah,
and then you get the politicians trying to fix the housing bubble, you know, by borrowing money. So there you go.
Yeah,
coming to downtown near you. Here's one for you, Angela. This is from AZ Family. The apartment complex considering turning to DNA testing to get renters to pick up their dog poop.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're in the rental business.
And what do you do for work? I go around test specimens for DNA to track down the dog owner.
I'm officially. So, but
I'm a specimen collector.
I'm the pooper scooper, right? Yeah. I get this because we have rental properties and we will allow dogs in certain scenarios and situations and size and this and that. Right. And even that, more government regulations come in with the what are those dogs called?
The pit bull.
Well, not the pit bull, but yeah, the pit bull. I always love the pit bull. And I know someone's listening. It's like, my pit bull never hurt anyone. And I'm like, okay. Anyway, the comfort dogs.
Oh, like the assisted assistance.
Well, I don't mind
like
it.
Emotional assistance.
Yeah, emotional. Yeah, it's like the emotional support animals. It's like all of a sudden everybody's got like emotional support, like, you know, mountain lions in their home and alligators and stuff. It's like getting, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's, there's restrictions. There's all kinds of restrictions on when you can allow or not allow.
People took advantage of it.
All of a sudden, every dog's an emotional.
I need this in the grocery store. I need this dog in the restaurant. And
I don't like dogs in grocery stores.
I saw one yesterday.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't mind it like in Home Depot or something. Yeah. But it's just something with the food and all that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just getting weird. Anyway, so they're testing the DNA. But you would have to like require your tenants to have like a DNA sample on record. So it's like,
so they have to submit one.
Yeah. So, okay. We got, we can probably rent to you, but we have to do a credit check, a background check, and we do an eviction check in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Right. And we also need some of your dog's
DNA.
We need you to get a little baggy. Addie's listening to dogs in here. She's like, I don't like this conversation. I don't know if I like this conversation. This isn't in Arizona, though, but I'm sure it's coming here soon. This is in Ohio. WTVG says an apartment complex, turning to DNA testing. Ravenswood Apartments in Toledo said they are considering using a company called, no, Is this like the Onion or something? It's a company called Poo Prints. P-O-O, Prints, that collects dogs' DNA with a mouth swab to help properties manage pet waste. Let's look that up here. Let's look that up because that's the kind of ending of the show we want.
If it's a problem and you need to, I don't know, do something about it, you could threaten that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be testing and then maybe people will actually pick it up.
Yeah, it's legit. Pooprints.com. Check this out. They look so happy walking their dogs.
Yeah.
And it's the DNA solution for dog waste. I might look into this now, actually. Join more than 7,000 properties using Pooprints to ensure a clean community, improve the bottom line, and increase resident satisfaction. So we're a family-run run company, mm-hmm. FlagstaffForLease.com, right? So that implies we got a lot of family members. This is definitely that's definitely a job for the kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, time to go over to this apartment complex and do some scooping. Whose was this? Is this Fluffy's? Wow. I guess it's technology can be awesome.
We get the occasional pile in our yard, and I know it's not our dog.
Yeah, I hate that when people they let them do it, you know, mm-hmm. everywhere. A lot more fallout hitting on this Boeing thing. Shortcuts everywhere. How Boeing favored speed over quality. I'm looking at an article from the news. I was going to have Bruce's other part of his interview on today, but we've been babbling about things and important things like pooprints.com. I will have that interview tomorrow. I hope you all tune in for that because Bruce and I did record it yesterday. Uh-huh. And he's commercial airline rated pilot, instructor, mm-hmm. and all of that. So we get into in the article what caused all these problems with Boeing because you got two manufacturers in the world that makes these. I guess the Russians kind of have one too, but I mean when you're talking about mass airline traffic, mm-hmm. most planes that are up there that you'd feel somewhat comfortable on, versus Sputnik 1 or whatever it is, it's Boeing and it's Airbus, right? And Boeing has just taken a dump. It's just been horrible. Mm-hmm. And they've had the wheel fall off thing and then the plug, the door blow out. So
yeah, after we talked about this a couple of days ago, I did read a little bit more on it, and there was a couple of landing gear fails like this month or last month in California, I think. On the 777. And then there was also been the problems with the 737.
737 8. Max. Yeah. Max 8.
And that one has had some crashes and a lot of inspections have revealed bolts missing and things aren't tightened or, you know, other.
Yeah.
It's a list. It's a long list.
Yeah. I mean, they were finding things like inside the fuselage that workers were leaving, like mm-hmm. a ladder.
Yeah.
I mean, what if that shook loose and then hits critical controls or something like that.
Right.
Bruce has a really big, several big examples during this interview, which will air during tomorrow's show and then podcast after that, of where just simple mistakes were made where he feels that there's also, it's not just the mechanical side and the rushing to get products to market and get to the next quarterly report, which is a big part of this. And that Netflix documentary, Boeing, Downfall of Boeing, I thought was a really good documentary on this, how they're, you know, everybody wants the next quarterly report. Every CEO wants mm-hmm. to make sure the dollars hit.
And Boeing as a company, it seems anyway, as if they're trying to dodge some of the paperwork and the inspections and the training.
Yes.
And they've been trying to avoid having to do some of that because of the time.
That was a big factor, and so it's well worth listening to this interview coming up because he also goes into the FAA certification and regulations and things that they've, you know, some companies are trying to take shortcuts around that very complex, long process. And the process is there for a reason, but it's also gotten so cumbersome, mm-hmm. I'm sure, that, you know, they're doing things like this software issue that happened with the Boeing 737. But it's much deeper than that, and he'll explain it really good on this interview, how they took the old Boeing's 737s are from like, I don't know if they're 60s or 70s. They're using the same model and they're just adapting a little bit and they stuck these monster engines on it, right? Mm-hmm. But when they did that, it like there's tail strikes now and the nose is going down because it's so much thrust all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then they're doing shortcuts. They did shortcuts that caused two accidents overseas. And anyway, it's an absolute disaster
at
Boeing right now. So we'll have that interview for you tomorrow. And, you know, I think that's well worth listening to. All right. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you need new blinds, shutters, or shades, call the Blind Brothers. They'll be able to help you out just like they did for Angela and I. We got great new blinds in our home in Flagstaff. Great pricing, great variety, you know, tons of stuff to look through and figure out what's best for you. And they also do the installation, which I highly recommend. Use the Blind Brothers, do the installation. Mention the Jeff Orvich Show. Get half off installation. Make sure you mention the show. Here's the number for the Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orvich Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orvich Show.
I will have candidates coming on. I think I'm just kind of delaying it a little more than I used to. I started doing some of these interviews like in January, where I was like starting to get some of the candidates in, and then I was like, no, this is too early.
Yeah.
I was just feeling already kind of burnt out talking to them.
It just seems so long.
Yeah, so I think I've decided to push that to, since we're not, and we were talking earlier, if you missed it, about the possibility of Arizona going to get rid of early ballot voting. You know, I don't think this is going to happen, but the Arizona Senate may be sending that to voters by early ballot, mostly to get rid of it and then go back to the polling places. Right. But it's coming up quick. So that's not going to happen this election, but we're talking July. You're going to start getting your early ballots. So I think I'll probably push these candidates out to like May, June. So
yeah,
it's
like
closer,
late spring, early
and just
summer.
Really start hitting it then. There are two candidates though you can go meet up with.
David Marshall.
David Marshall.
And Walt Blackman.
And they're going to be at the Rodeo Steakhouse.
From 6 to 8 on Friday.
Friday, March 29th. Friday, March 29th. The Rodeo Steakhouse from 6?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
Yeah, it's a meet and greet.
Meet and greet.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll both have kind of their speech, you know, their 10-minute deal or whatever. But other than that, you could go
get a steak,
talk to them and
get some chicken.
Yeah,
I think they have fish there. They got, you know, ribs, salt and pepper steak. Get that, and then listen to some politics.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they're there. They want to talk to
people.
Yeah,
they want to talk. So it's good. They're coming. You know, they're coming out to Williams. So that's 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard, right there by the Ramada Inn, the Rodeo Steakhouse. That's Friday, March 29th. Walt Blackman, David Marshall, 6 to 8 p.m. David was a big thing in Florence.
Oh yeah,
and David. Mark was talking about David.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it just today.
He wasn't too thrilled about David. He said they just said that was David.
Oh.
You know, he's like, oh, because they were showing all of David in all of his glory. So they were like, oh, yeah, I can show this because it's King David.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that was the Michelangelo, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Michelangelo did that.
Okay,
in
what's the problem?
Like 1504, I want to say.
What's the problem over there?
Well, the rector of the museum in which David is housed.
Down some alley in Florence, but anyway.
Doesn't like the commercializing of David. And if anyone out there has been to Italy, anywhere in Italy, you will discover very quick that they are obsessed with David.
Yeah, they got a David issue over there.
His splendor, but it's like boxers and aprons and decks of cards and I mean probably anything you can imagine.
And explicit David too.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's just you know, one area in particular. Sometimes it's the whole statue.
It's pasta of David, but
I
only
know,
one
I
area.
I sent Jeff a picture of pasta you can buy.
I almost bought that
for
Mark.
This is not in just like the tacky gift shop.
It's everywhere.
That's like, it's in the grocery store David Pasta.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, I had seen that when I was there in January, but then we saw it again. And Olivia's like, ew.
Wait till Christmas.
Anyway.
When's your birthday? Your birthday's coming up soon.
I think that I've always thought that it was pretty tacky.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but then I thought, well, you know what? They wouldn't do it if people didn't buy it. And so people must buy it.
Oh, you know it. Aprons, everything. So,
I mean, I thought the boxers were funny. I almost bought them for you. But,
oh, man. So anyway. What, were they suing?
Yeah, she's suing because she just doesn't like that. Like, and she Italy has this like heritage code. It's like a cultural code that says you can't like commercialize unauthorized things like that. And also that a work of art is it's like belongs in perpetuity to the museum and that owns it now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, so that way, like if you don't have authorization to use it from the museum, then you can't put it on your boxers or whatever. And the problem though is that there's the public domain issue.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and that
500-600
generally
years.
Says that the artist's lifetime plus 70 years, and after that, things are in the public domain, which this would apply because we're talking early 1500s. And I don't know when Michelangelo died.
Yeah, they just
died.
Got, you know, that little museum's in an alley somewhere. That's so many people just go to Florence for that. And it's literally like in an alley, small little road.
Yeah, in a little
it's
museum.
Like, yeah, it's like without that museum probably would have eight people
there. Oh, they wouldn't have anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so all these people line up.
So Italy has signed on a long time ago to this agreement on the public domain. But they also have this heritage cultural code that says that, you know, people can't use it. But it's like, is it in the public domain or not? And whose, decision
just
is that?
Just get some royalties out of it.
Yeah.
David Pasta, just bank on it. Michelangelo would probably be like, oh, man, this is funny.
I know.
I can't believe you people are still obsessing about this statue 500 years later, right?
Anyway, I think it's interesting. We'll see how that turns out.
Okay, tomorrow I've got this interview with Bruce Sidlinger, which is very important when it comes to Boeing and the airline industry.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Howitt's going to be doing some stuff as well. So busy show tomorrow as well. Have a good night. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.